All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. Welcome to Speak for Yourself.
I'm right over here.
Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Damn,
tell the GM to come up.
What is going on? I'm getting him already. Man, yes, sir.
All right, coming up.
Me, Marcellus.
We'll tell you if the Cowboys should think about letting Dak Prescott walk, but we start with the NBA.
Y'all?
Yeah, I'm on. Have something in common with NFL players. Their contracts are not guaranteed.
Ooh.
An NBA star dissatisfied with his new team, his coach, or the weather in a particular city can force his way out by demanding a trade or opting in to load management. Paul George has forced his way out of two Midwest cities. Anthony Davis bullied his way to Los Angeles and out of New Orleans. The NBA keeps creeping towards being the and-one mixtape tour, a league run by Hot Sauce, Skip to My Lou, maybe Shaq.
Man.
Ownership has not just surrendered its right to call itself owners, the Board of Governors has surrendered control of the league to its players. Players, not executives, are constructing teams. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre Jordan decided amongst themselves to play in Brooklyn. Jared Dudley cleared it with LeBron James before deciding to join the Lakers. NBA governors have been reduced to signing contracts and checks and then holding their breaths, waiting to see if the players will live up to the deals signed. Commissioner Adam Silver is supposed to fix this mess. Good luck with that. Silver met with his bosses yesterday and afterward admitted to the media that the latest free agency frenzy highlighted a problem.
My sense in the room today was, you know, especially when it comes to free agency and the rules around it, that we've got work to do. My job is to enforce a fair set of rules for all our teams, and a set of rules that are clear and make sense for everyone. And I think right now, we're not quite there.
Yeah, they got lots of work to do. In the past two off seasons, four of the league's top 10 players decided they had to play inside of one building, the Staples Center. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving bolted their teams to play in Brooklyn. The top NBA player brands all seem to want to be in New York or Los Angeles. Makes perfect sense. Hell, it might even make sense for the entire NBA. Silver might be feigning dissatisfaction publicly and privately believing having strong teams in Los Angeles, New York, Silicon Valley, Boston, Philadelphia, and Miami make the most economic sense for the league. Mm-hmm. By ceding power to the players and letting human nature take its course, that allows Silver and ownership to escape blame for flyover country being left behind. But hell, maybe there's no real problem. Milwaukee, Denver, and Utah, legitimate title contenders. San Antonio, Portland, New Orleans, and Indiana will all be interesting. The NBA is strong along the coast and intriguing in the middle. It's kind of the same formula we see in Major League Baseball. The Yankees, Dodgers, and Red Sox carry the league, while a Kansas City or a Cleveland will occasionally rise up. All right, joining the show to discuss are former NBA players, Iceberg Jim Jackson.
Ice.
And about that action, Steven Jackson. Yeah. All right, Marcellus.
Cazzo.
Get us rolling.
You starting with me or him?
Yeah. Which one?
Marcellus.
Start with that dude.
Marcellus, you start.
Player control hurting or helping the NBA?
I think it's helping. Let's start here with an objective fact. What's the king of all sports in our country?
Football,
right? And it's not really close. Football last year generated $15 billion. NBA, 2017-2018, generated $8 billion. Half of me, and that's annual, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what's happening, though, in perception. People think this is a real fight. People think that this is a battle between the NFL and the NBA. You know why that's happening? Because of perception, because of social media, because they're kicking up dust. They really don't want to fight the NFL, but they're kicking up enough dust where people are getting lost in it and starting to say, NBA, NFL, comparable, toe-to-toe. It's an economic disparity, but there's also a disparity in terms of perception. These players, social media engagement, social media interactions, all of that noise is creating a conversation for the NBA to close that gap. Even though in reality, there's not really that close of a situation between the NBA and the NFL.
Right.
So this is smart for them to continue to make noise, continue to kick up dust, social interaction, to make everyone think this is a close race when it really isn't.
Mm-hmm. The player movement part of it is, back in the day, that's what we fought for in the union. I mean, we fought for BRI basketball revenues, okay, to be distributed evenly among players, mm-hmm. okay? Not evenly, but you get the fair cut. Mm. But also having players have the ability to move with a little bit of freedom. Because back in the day, you know, we didn't have really a choice right. once a team chose to do something with you, whether you were under contract or not. They made moves and players were just regulated to that. So I am happy to see that guys now have a choice and an opportunity in certain situations where they may not be happy to be able to move. I know that owners don't like it as much, but at the same time, look at what it's created in regards to, I think, maybe some parity now, but also some intrigue. Guys now and teams now have what they're looking for, especially here in LA. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't not be happy with what you see right now in LA and Brooklyn. And I think to your point too, a lot of other teams have figured out we may not get that top player, but let's see that second tier player get here and build out when we're having a superstar a la, let's say like Utah.
Mm-hmm. Well, me personally, with the football side of it, I don't think the athletes even think it's even close. But being that contracts are guaranteed and football is not.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's night and day to us.
Yeah, exactly.
But
living that lie, but go ahead. I'm going to get
it. But it's the truth, though. It's the truth.
But go ahead.
No, he's player perception. Everyone is like, yo, I want to be a basketball player. But
the
reality is,
you can't tell me that football players are not saying, man, a football player haven't said, bruh, I wish I was playing basketball because the contract's guaranteed.
All day, every day.
Every football player's probably said that.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah.
And there's 400 jobs in the NBA and, you know, nearly 2,000 in the NFL. But go ahead.
True. But I would rather be guaranteed than non-guaranteed. Mm. Now, let me say this. It feels good. I love the fact that players are controlling all this stuff. Because they don't mind trading you at 2, 3 in the morning while you sleep to another team way in Africa somewhere. They'll send you anywhere. So they'll trade you in the middle of the night, but you mad that I want to go where I want to go? Mm. What the problem is, players know their worth. And the teams and these agents can't tell players what they're worth no more. The players know it for themselves. So they're picking where they want to go and teaming up on their own. They're doing their own negotiations now. And that's just the biggest difference. And it's all a control thing. It's all a control thing. We lose the control of the players. Let's figure out how we can get some of it back. Mm.
And look.
Man, that was hot.
Again, if you own a business, eventually you want the right to run it.
And you have that right.
No, I understand that. And so the employees don't get to run amok because a lot of times the employees are doing just individual things to satisfy themselves that don't serve the entire business. Mm-hmm. And so I believe there are some people that's like, okay, it's worked out this summer. We got some dynamic duos. There's a lot of interesting storylines. But over the long haul, players just going wherever they want and I like this city, I'm from this city. But I don't think it's a long-term business strategy mm-hmm. that works. And if I'm ownership, I'm concerned. Because you have very young people, very young, and I'm happy for them. I'm glad they get the money or whatever. But there should be some kind of obligation that goes along with, hey, I signed a contract. Someone just made me filthy rich. But the players, they don't have to live up to the contracts in the NBA. The NBA has to live up to their end.
Right.
If you sign that deal, you got to pay.
Not fully, because look. You get a contract.
I agree.
No. The contract says, look, we'll pay you X, but it also says where we'll pay you X. If I sign a contract with you to play for the Clippers, it says Los Angeles Clippers, and you're going to give me that amount of money. But I also know that you can trade me away, and I'm talking about myself and Blake Griffin. And Blake signed on to be a Clipper, and you're going to give me that money. And then he looks up, 3 o'clock in the morning, he's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Hold on, owner. What happened to your side of the contract? It wasn't just pay me. It was also play me where I want to be played. And that's a big difference. So it's not a two-way.
Well, I think when I sign a contract with a company, I don't think it guarantees me location. I don't think it guarantees me the money. That's what the contract is for. It does not.
If the company only has one location, Los Angeles Clippers, they ain't got a Detroit office.
Right.
This ain't Fox. Uh-huh. You know.
He's playing in the league of the NBA where there is some sort of revenue sharing. He's playing in the NBA. Getting shipped off to Detroit. Hmm. I used to live outside there. It ain't L.A., but it's not Siberia.
Right.
It ain't L.A.
At 100 and however million dollars they gave him. I'm just saying, we love to demonize NFL owners. Oh, my God, no guaranteed contracts. And I just can't believe they do this, blah, blah, blah. The players, if given the opportunity, we're seeing it right now in the NFL, if given the opportunities to walk and back out of a contract because it meets their needs, they will do exactly that. I'm not sure this is a great long-term strategy. It's worked right now. I don't see it work, particularly the more and more money the guys get. I just, again, that kind of money at that age is a burden. It's a gift, but it's also a burden that they are not prepared for.
What's the solution, though? I mean, because for so long, players in general have been at the whim of what owners want. Mm. And I've been there. Owners told me, I mean, I'm in Philadelphia. Larry Brown, they tell me, listen, I want to get you to a playoff team. I'm like, all right, cool. All right, that's cool with me. San Antonio is interested. We're talking to Golden State, but that's not nothing. Later on, I get a phone call that night. We make a trade. I'm like, I'm about to go to the playoff. You're going to Golden State.
Hey.
I'm like, I don't got no control over that.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you told me you're going to do this, but you sent me over here. When I'm a free agent, you say you want me to sign back. Mm. You tell me all this stuff. I let some other teams go. Then at the end of the day, you don't want to pay me. So I'm all for player control, and I do think you have to manage that, but what's the other option? What's the alternative? Because guys now know their worth, like you talked about, and know where they want to go. I don't think you should stop that part of it.
I think in all aspects of life, there are compromises that are made for ultimate happiness and peace and blah. You have no control over virtually anything. If you've been married, you can't control your wife. If you got kids, you can't really control your kids. Mm. You can hope. You can say a prayer.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
And so I think this whole deal of, hey, because I'm in the NBA and because I'm worth this much money, I should be able to control at where I live, where I play, all aspects and blah, who I play with. Blah. I think that's bogus. I think it's short-sighted. I think it's great to be, look, I used to be an athlete a long time ago. I get it. But my father was a businessman my whole life, small businessman. And again, if you're the owner, you want some control over your business. You earn that right. And I think we may be going a bit too far. The NBA, because again, there's the perception out there that they're competing with the NFL, but there's the reality that their ratings were in the toilet this year and the league is actually backing up. And you can only live a lie for so long.
Well, I think another problem with that is, and the way to fix that is to stop giving big contracts to guys that haven't proved themselves. I think that's another problem, because teams getting locked up with these big contracts with guys that haven't even proved themselves, that haven't done nothing in the league. And they're forced to give them these big contracts. So now you got guys that they're your scouts, too. The scouts are a big problem, too. The guys that are picking these players.
Steve, it's not the guys that are underperforming that are forcing their way out. It's the guys that are performing. And so, again, when
the guys that are underperforming getting paid a lot of money not to perform.
There's a minimum salary cap, so let's just be real. They have to spend it up to 85%. 90%.
Right. But
you got to give it away.
But spend it wisely.
Well, then there's also a max. So the only certain players can get the max, and then after that, you just bring up the middle class. And that's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
You're starting to see players you deem overpaid and underperforming is just because it's a richer middle class.
You can't bring a player from a team that didn't play, that didn't do nothing, and bring him to your team and give him the mid-level exception just because you have to and expect something different.
We have an issue here of leveling the playing field, which is impossible. Now,
I don't think it's impossible.
It's impossible. I'll tell you why. Because the power is in the pen when you sign that contract as a player and as an owner. And then there's fine print on that same contract that we all can see if we're really looking. And then there's a spirit that we can never agree upon. So the spirit is, owner, will you ever trade me? And the owner can't guarantee that. And the player is saying,
He
gonna say no, yes. But he can't guarantee that, right? And the player, will I ever force my way out? And the player is sitting there saying, I don't know.
No, because I'm going to sign this. Why I'm saying no? I'm signing this. No, I'm not going nowhere.
Jim, you've asked a big picture, Neil, in terms of, and the NBA is at a point where they are starting to think of big picture ideas. Mm-hmm. How can we improve the regular season? Should we shorten games? Should we play a midseason tournament? I've been arguing at least for 15 years in all these professional sports where all this television money's come in. The games are just, the money has just so dramatically changed the game that they need to take a look at the structure and how they pay guys. And what I've always suggested, and I hope I can express this idea succinctly, and in a way that people can understand.
Actually, definition of that
later. And so I think teams need to have slots in terms of 1 to 15 on the roster, what you can pay your number one guy, what you can pay your number two guy, what you can pay your number three guy, and then now guys won't be Anthony Davis. If I can only be slotted number two with the Lakers and only get X number of dollars, he's less likely to say, oh, let me go play with LeBron James. And it's like a major structural change, and I think this should happen in the NFL. I think it should happen in all professional sports because, again, if you don't, I just think, and particularly in the NBA where it's really acute, I just think you're going to see the top players group up together in a handful of cities.
I like it. I don't love it for this reason. One, we've already seen for many a years, players will take a haircut. So taking the number two
in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Two, Anthony Davis gave $4 million in the hopes of a Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Didn't even have a guarantee. Kawhi ain't said nothing to nobody. And he's like, I give you $4 million to figure this out.
Right.
Then, even if you know you're going to take less in that haircut, peace of mind, happiness, and you're going to get the support of the marketing, the shoe deals, the off-the-court opportunities.
No question. $20 million haircut.
Guess what? I'll take any kind of haircut when I'm that guy.
I would agree with you. It's not perfect because of, a lot of these guys already, LeBron probably makes more from Nike than he does the NBA. Mm. A lot of these guys do that. I get that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would do is then I would tie part of their money in base salary and then another part of their money in winning.
Performance.
In winning. But again, that
would hurt a lot of players. Because a lot of them do not perform for that money.
The issue with the winning aspect, now the onus comes back on the ownership to build out that team. Because if you're going to give me an incentive, if I have a contract in there that says incentive for winning, then you better build out this team that's going to help me win.
It comes out to the scouting.
You see what I'm saying? Because you got
to –
if I got
to
win 60 games a year, 70, I can't do it by myself. So the owner's got to be on the owner's too to be able to build out that team that gives me an opportunity to reach that incentive.
I would agree. And it would undercut my deal because then it's like Anthony Davis saying, well, hell, I'll be number two because we're going to win so many games. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make money up.
Right,
make it up. But also that does incentivize the organizations to run themselves properly in a way that makes sense. I've written about this probably 15 years ago. And I have other ideas that I think the league should jump on in terms of, I don't think this, they need to turn this off-season free agency stuff into television shows.
Yes.
This should not play out in private.
They'll make money off of it.
This should play out on television. Mm-hmm. It's another aspect that a reality-based TV show where, again, I would love to see guys at the end of a season decide how are we going to cut up this money based off of how we interacted as a team over the course of the season and have the players, because they know who put in the effort, who didn't, who was out kicking it rather than preparing for the games.
Yep.
I'd love to see that.
I think Adam Silver's a fan of some 15-year-old Whitlock because the All-Star Selection show is a little
Is it a little bit like
it's
that?
It's a little bit heading down that road and that pathway to give us that reality show.
The war show now, too.
Yes.
The war show now, too. There's some,
they need to really think outside the box and not be afraid. And that's what I like about Adam Silver when he's talked about shortening the season, or some kind of tournament in the middle of the season. He doesn't seem afraid of change. And the NBA, in order to fix this problem, is going to have to be really fierce. Joined now by a couple of former Pro Bowlers, Sean Merriman and Cliff Averill. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where Dak Prescott is entering the last year of his rookie contract and is expected to get a big extension from the Cowboys any day now. But not everyone thinks that would be such a great idea, with Pro Football Focus arguing that Jerry Jones should cut bait with Dak, who they say hasn't shown much development since his rookie year, and could hamstring the team with a massive new deal. I think this is a little bit harsh. A little bit harsh. I said a little bit harsh, but Marcel, I'm going to throw it to you.
Yeah.
Crazy idea for the Cowboys to move on from Dak.
It's not crazy, man. It's crazy to think about their real problem, which is an abundance of riches in terms of talent. They got a lot of players that are going to look for some big paydays coming up soon. And Dak Prescott, where does he fall in that pecking order? He gets kind of low if you start to think about his performance. You want to hear something harsh? Boy, you don't want to argue with Pro Football Focus. I just tell you, I'm just telling you, I'm so glad I retired before this thing came out. Boy, they will break you down.
Man.
And they get it right. They called him, and I quote, profoundly average quarterback. A profoundly average quarterback who's basically dressed up with a defense and a running game. Everything else is putting lipstick on this pig, as they want to say it. I like Dak. I really like Dak. I don't love Dak to the tune of his floor is now $30 million, and his ceiling may exceed Carson Wentz and get into the mid-30s in terms of annual salary. So I think just because of all the talent they have and the fact that maybe you can roll the dice and win a different way at that position, it won't be crazy if they let him go.
You know, I hate to say this because No, I do. I do because I love to see guys get paid. I'm an advocate. Mm-hmm. I'm always about, hey, when you've been playing well and you earned it, I want you to hit them. Hit them while you can because they will hit you when they can. Mm-hmm. In this case, if the Dallas Cowboys give Dak Prescott $30 million a year, it would be the worst mistake that, in the history of the franchise that they've ever made. No.
You know I played there.
No.
They
no.
signed me. That was pretty
no,
bad.
No, you was the third. Yeah, I was like, one more. You was number three. It was one more. It was one more after that. No, but if they do this, the reason why if they give him this type of money, it's going to take three to five years to recover from it because now you're going to have to start trading defensive players away, trading O-linemen away, other guys that should deserve to get paid. They won't get paid. And check this out. 48 regular season games, he's only thrown for 300 yards five times. Mm-hmm. Ever in 48 regular season games. Mm. To me, that don't sound like a $30 million quarterback. Mm. It just don't. So if they go out and even offer or come close to $30 million, it's going to set these guys back for 3 to 5 years, and it'll be a horrible decision.
Mm. Now, that's just the market rate, though, right? I mean, yeah. And we can look at all these.
Well, for average quarterbacks.
Yeah, but no, I mean, look at Wentz. Wentz just got paid 4 years. What is it? $128 million, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't done. I mean, okay, his game. You know, they've won games and different things like that. But as far as for what you see, what Dak has done, as far as for a team, I mean, I'll read a couple of stats for you in comparison to Wentz. Dak has 32-16. Wentz is 23-17. But Dak has won two divisional titles. He's the second most winning player since he's gotten into the NFL. But not only that, though, I think the big thing is with the Cowboys in particular. They paid Romo after going 12-5 and winning zero playoff games. Dak has done way more than Romo, and they paid him. I just think as far as for a quarterback, that's just the going rate. That just is what it is. It's unfortunate that's what it is, but they have to pay him because that's his going rate.
To Marcellus' point, Tony Romo didn't have what Dak Prescott has. Mm. He didn't have Ezekiel Elliott. He didn't have that offensive line. They didn't have that type of defense. Mm. The team is built around Dak Prescott. You give Tony Romo that same team with that old line, that running back, that defense, and they're a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. Period. Yeah. So I can't really compare these two guys, and I think it'd just be a horrible mistake.
Here's my take, and I'll let y'all answer if I'm right or wrong. The reason I'm real uncomfortable giving this dude $30 million is that once you do that, when he walks in that locker room, all of his teammates are gonna be like, you better deliver. You know, it ain't going to just be us carrying.
Pressure.
And so I think he's been very popular in that locker room while underpaid.
Yeah, yeah.
Once he gets paid, he's going to wish that he got treated the way Russell Wilson did when Richard Sherman and was lighting his ass up every chance they could. Them Cowboys players, when you run around making $30 million a year, that envy sets off, and then it's like, man, you better deliver like a $30 million guy.
If he's making 25, it's no different. You know what I'm saying? I just think we just have to understand that that's just the going rate for these quarterbacks at the moment. Does he deserve it? I think he does, just from that standpoint. I think from a winning perspective and just being, he's played in every single game. Yet you paying some of these other quarterbacks all this money, and they not playing in half the games or whatnot. I just think.
There's a difference between 25 and 30.
There's a difference, but it's no different from the guy that's making five.
Cliff,
It's no different from the guy that's making five. He's still going to be envious, is my point. That's my point. He's still going to be envious.
Get back in that locker room. We some big kids, bro. You know how we
Oh, I get it.
And we're playing a child's game, man, and we grown. This is the same dynamic that happened in school. When the girl ain't that cute, everybody said, girl, pick your head. You all right? You fresh? You good? Yeah, yeah. Let her show up the next day feeling like she cute. You think you all that,
right?
Soon as I get that money, I'm fresh. They be like, oh, no, you ain't.
Right.
You better go out there and win some more games, throw for some more yards, throw for some more touchdowns. Here's the biggest issue that Dak has in his game. He's dressed up. They have one of the better lines, if not the best line. They have a great running game. They have a great defense. And Pro Football Focus, once again, I'm glad I didn't play, went out there and said the most predictive aspect of a quarterback is his ability to avoid throwing negative throws. And guess where Dak ranks? 25th.
Hey. Yep.
That means, bro, when everything goes right, what's your decision making? It's not that good. It's below average.
So what's the biggest stat? What's the biggest stat, though? What's the biggest stat from this standpoint? Okay, his numbers might not necessarily be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but they're winning games. And at the end of the day, for quarterbacks, they always get the credit for winning games. I don't care how you slice and dice it, they're winning games.
Trent Dilfer got the credit.
The defense got a credit I'm talking about three seasons now. I mean, he's talking about just one or two games.
Hey, are you helping us go forward, or are we pulling you in that direction of going forward? That's the conversation about Dak. Is he helping accelerate this team, or is this team pulling him along for the ride? And that's a $30 million question.
If I was Dak, I wouldn't even want $30 million. I wouldn't I'm telling you. Listen. It's okay if you're a defensive player or whatever, you can't be exposed every play if you get that type of money. You might get beat on the pass coverage. You might not have double-digit sacks. You can kind of get hidden.
You can get away with it.
Being a quarterback making $30 million a year, every single play, every single game, it's on you. And if you don't live up to it, you're going to get questioned every single time.
And you're going to do that anyways, though.
No, but you're going to do that. If he's making 15 a year, I mean, your question is going to be different if you're getting paid 30.
Listen, I think there's a huge – if he takes 25 and every time a broadcaster covers the game and has said, you know, Dak took a little less than his market value, as opposed to – when he throws an interception in a clutch spot, I can hear Troy Aikman now. Boy, they paid this guy $30 million to make that throw, and he didn't.
Exactly.
So it's going to be part of the narrative. And I know what we're going to do on this show. When we start, $30 million?
I still think 25 too high.
How about this? Whoa. We fast forward to next year broadcast, and Troy Aikman says, yeah, Byron Jones, who left in free agency. Jalen Smith, who left in free agency.
Right.
But they got Dak, and then he throws that interception again. But you can't win. If I'm Dak, I'm not taking less. I'm betting on myself.
For sure.
But, boy, that
he's
made me
a lot of money for wearing that star.
Right.
There's a lot of commercials.
It's a lose-lose situation for him, to be honest with you.
Off the field, you can make it up.
But you can still make that money off the field still at 30 or 25. I'm trying to say, what I'm saying is.
You should be an agent.
I'm pro players getting their money now. It's just, I think with Dak's situation, it is what it is. That's the market. But also, for him, he's with the Cowboys, so of course there's more pressure. I just think for him, he just has to go out there and ball out regardless. But take your money, man. I don't care what nobody say. It's going to be pressure. Take your money.
Let's move to Philadelphia, where the ink is barely dry on Carson Wentz's new massive contract. And teammate Lane Johnson is already promising that his quarterback is, quote, about to do some big things. But he's not the only quarterback looking to bounce back from a major injury this season. The Panthers are expecting Cam Newton to be a full participant in training camp after offseason shoulder surgery. All right, the question here is, who will have a better season, Carson Wentz coming off injury or Cam Newton coming off injury? My money's on Cam, but I'm going to go to you first.
I'm going to keep this short. It's on Cam Newton, man. North Turner, now year two, but last year before the injury, 6-2, MVP conversation. I know Carson Wentz had his moments as well, but it wasn't last year necessarily. For Cam Newton, he fell off the cliff because of the shoulder injury. Got that fixed. I think he returns to his greatness, so I'm going with Cam.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm with Cam 1,000%. From a lot of different perspectives. With Wentz, you just don't know how many games he's going to play. He hasn't played a full season yet, right? So right there, I'm thinking Cam is going to have a better season. And then playing against both of these guys, I think Cam overall is just a harder person to bring down. He's a harder person to get after more so than Wentz. As a pass rusher, we all know this. As a pass rusher, you rather go against the statue that's in the middle more so than the guy that likes to move. Oh, okay. And that's another reason why I think Cam would probably
I'm going the opposite way. I'm going with Carson. You know, I know he's had a bunch of injuries, the back injury, the ACL, rib fracture, wrist. He had a wrist, too. Mm-hmm. I was there when Drew Brees, like, hurt his shoulder, right, on the side in 2005, when his shoulder completely popped out of place. I mean, it was one of the worst injuries I've ever
seen. Tore off his torso, almost.
I mean, it was one of the worst injuries I've seen. Mm. He's probably one of the only ones that bounced back the way he did. Mm-hmm. And I said this a long time ago about Cam Newton. As a quarterback, you can only take but so many hits. He's a big guy. He takes a lot of hits. He doesn't get a lot of calls because he's so physical and he's so big, so the ref doesn't call a lot of stuff in his favor. You can only take a certain amount of hits, and I think he's had them. Mm. I know he's had the work done, but the problem is with that shoulder, it's a constant thing. It comes back, it goes away. It comes back, it goes away. And I think he's going to be battling this thing the entire season. I don't know how much they're going to use him, when he's going to be 100%. I doubt if he's 100% now. Mm. I think he's going to be battling that thing the whole season. With Carson, and we've seen guys come back, especially quarterbacks with knee problems. You know, when Brady had his, I think, 2007 or 2008, he came back from it. He had some other quarterbacks come back from a knee injury. But as a quarterback, when you hurt your shoulder, if you had shoulder problems, I just don't see it stopping. I just see it, you know, being an on and off thing an entire season. I don't think he's going to have the season that everyone expected him to have. Even with my former coach, you play for Norv.
Norv,
you know, he's a great coach. Even with Norv Turner, I don't see him having a great season. I think that Carson has a better season.
But so, what about his back, though? What about Carson Wentz's back? Because, I mean, that was an issue, too.
Yeah.
And we know back issues, once the back goes out, as an athlete, as a person, you're pretty much stuck. So how does that compare to the shoulder?
Yeah, but this is the thing. You know, a lot of this stuff, and I talk about when you have these injuries, when you have a left knee, you're going to have a right Achilles or a right back. You have a right shoulder, something else. It's always a compensation thing going. And if he can keep his body stable in one condition, just little stuff that he had, but if he can keep it stable for the most part, most of these injuries go away because they don't suffer the same type of hits as a lot of these guys on the opposite side of the ball.
Well, to that point, I had a back surgery after year three, played seven more years, and had some great years after the back surgery. He's right. Like, something about the core, it could be different than the extremities. When you got the shoulder, I had the shoulder.
Yep.
Everything else started to compensate as well. Here's the thing about Carson Wentz. Last year, he had some good numbers, but not the same impact. You talk about his rookie year. He actually did play 16 games his rookie year, but then it's been downhill ever since. He's got his money.
Yep.
He got his team. They're ready for him. The conversation is not divided between him and Nick Foles. Nick is gone. It's his team. We'll see how he performs.
They put some pieces around Carson Wentz as well.
Yeah.
Yep. That I'm not sure Cam has.
Deshaun.
Cam's,
yeah.
Deshaun Jackson and Cam. And Cam's wide receivers are still a little questionable. Love Christian McCaffrey. My bet is on Cam solely off of, I believe in Cam as a competitor. Mm-hmm. The Cam's a crybaby. Cam's not the greatest leader, but Cam is a competitor. He does not want to fail. He has a lot of pride. And so I think this season, with everybody kind of down on Cam and questioning Cam, and early in the year last year, before the shoulder, Cam had a 4 or 5, 6 game stretch early on. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cam is back. And so I think he can get back to that just as a competitor. I think he wants it that bad. That's why I'd lean a little bit more towards Cam. But when I look at the pieces they put around Carson Wentz this year, and they've given him the contract. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's a competitor as well. He wants to live up to the hype they moved on from Nick Foles. I think both of these guys are capable of having excellent seasons and putting themselves. Will Carson Wentz be able to stay healthy? And will Cam stay true to the mechanics that they're trying to get into? That'll decide.
This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. And I'm here to tell you to use ZipRecruiter.com as your hiring solution. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/speak. ZipRecruiter sends your job
to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/speak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak, S-P-E-A-K. ZipRecruiter.com/speak. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Iceberg Jim Jackson, about that action, Steven Jackson, back with us. Time to get antisocial. Darnell is off at somebody.
I said that. Darnell lost some weight.
Yeah,
Darnell smoking crack.
Man.
go ahead, man. Give it to us.
Hey, man, first of all, out of respect to my boy Darnell, hey, boy, let's get it, Jim.
I'm getting an old man.
Oh, dehydrated plant.
I sound like you, Jim. I sound like you last night.
Oh, dehydrated plant.
Man, give me your breath back, brother.
Uncle Jimmy.
Come to see you.
I'm that Gatorade, man.
Come to see you.
Can we get to work, man?
Come on, man. Let's get started with the All-Star game. Fox had players mic'd up all night long, including Freddie Freeman, during his first at-bat. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Gary. How are you? I can talk. I'm talking to the announcers. I know what you're going to throw me. They're going to tell me what's coming. They're going to tell me what's coming. No. Eaters.
3.
Got him with a breaking ball. Freddie, you're a prince for doing that.
You're welcome, guys.
I don't get it.
Question, fellas.
I don't get it. Excuse
go ahead, Darnell.
Me.
What's the question?
I ain't distracted.
Hey, do y'all want to see this happen in other sports?
See what? What happened?
He was mic'd
he
up.
Was man. He was mic'd up.
And Mike. Interaction with the play-by-play, Joe Buck and those guys.
Never been done before.
Never been done before.
That was a Fox game last
technology.
Night.
Technology.
No. Keep it coming.
Like, while you're playing in big three games right now, we actually hear you talking to us other than your...
That wasn't entertaining. They should have been talking trash or something. Like, that wasn't entertaining at all.
It's baseball, though. You know, they
it's
got...
Not like he was talking to the T-Mobile operator. Hello, T-Mobile.
You know what? I like it doing like an all-star game. Game,
yeah,
like that, but I wouldn't want to see it during the regular game. No?
No.
I like an all-star game, an event, something like that, but not during the regular game. Talking to me as a play-by-play?
No.
During the game?
Yeah, throwing him off.
Okay, let me tell you. There's a channel that I would give you $9.99 a month. If you give me every regular season game of every sport, but the explicit content. So no more filtering, no more taking away when y'all cursing at each other. I want sideline audio. I want to hear the real dope. To me, that's that'd as close be, as you're going to get to that. If you're going to give me the whole thing, I'll take it. But I'll take
I way. Don't want it. Why? I like mystery. I don't want everything exposed. Next thing you know, never mind. Let me shut up.
Expose them. All right, hey, look. Next. Hey, let's talk about Whitlock's boy. Christian McCaffrey.
I do like McCaffrey.
Hey, he was spotted in Mexico with his new girlfriend, model Olivia Culpo. Culpo used to date Danny Amendola. And they also had a very public and messy breakup. Which got me wondering, you think McCaffrey should be a little leery here?
Man, listen.
What?
Somebody need to talk to him, man. When stuff like that happens, she's an opportunist. When she go from one athlete to the next... That's called the opportunist.
What?
I wouldn't trust that.
What are you talking
trust,
about?
I would not
I
trust
totally
that.
Disagree.
I totally disagree with you, too. Who's she supposed to date? She got to date. Oh, I dated one athlete. No more athletes.
No.
That's what you got to do? Why she got to go get forced in that box?
So.
I'm listening.
You got a teammate.
I got a teammate.
They're not teammates.
They're not teammates.
Okay, well, you know.
My teammate married my ex.
You know, that's why I'm asking you that.
I ain't like it.
Right. Thank you.
Should have thanked
me. Case closed.
That ain't
that's
the same.
A friend.
Our fraternity ain't, I mean, cats what? Can do that. It's not that bad, is it?
Uh-oh. Put it like this. It ain't the player.
Two NFL players?
It's his job. That's what she's looking for, a football player. She ain't looking for McCaffrey. She's looking for a football player. I'm gonna keep going
to land one. First of all, we don't know her. So we don't know if that's
right. I've been around enough women and dated enough women to know how things go. I'm first team on common sense. And if you break up with one football player and go find another one, and a couple months later, you are opportunity.
So go ahead, Stack.
Point blank.
She got to wait a
real Stack.
What is it, a trial period? She got to go
no,
a year?
It ain't a trial period, but it's just common sense, bruh.
You've been around?
I know this.
Stop trying to be politically correct. This ain't
shit.
Ain't
politically correct, Steve.
You an opportunist, girl.
Steve.
Stop it.
Okay, and we got to move on, Steve, because we're out of time.
That's all right.
We got to move to the next. Steve, don't act like you ain't never dated nobody else that had been dated somebody in the NBA.
Never.
Ooh, don't.
Say it again.
Stop.
Never.
Stop. We'll take Ooh. It off.
Steve, you don't know everything.
Call up here if y'all know different. y'all know how I move. And my homeboy don't date strippers.
Look here. Hey, listen here. Look, let's talk about something that we can get stacked to keep it 100 about. Let's talk about Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard spoke to The Athletic about his up and down NBA career, which it appears to be over. All the comments on Twitter went back and forth about his legacy. So I was wanting to ask both of you guys, or all you guys, what's Dwight Howard's legacy? And keep it 100.
That's a good question.
Yeah, what is Dwight Howard's? Jim, you didn't go last one.
Unfilled potential with him. I mean, we saw what he could do in Orlando, won it out. He thought that the grass was greener on the other side. He got out. And before the injuries, we thought that he could be one of those once-in-a-generational type players. Unfulfilled potential to me.
I'm thinking automatically Hall of Fame. Now I don't know.
Right?
That's how I look at it.
Who are we talking about, Dwight Howard or Carmelo?
Darmelo.
He said Darmelo. He put
Dwight.
Them both together.
Dwight. Dwight. Dwight.
Man.
Dwight came in the league, automatic Hall of Fame, one of the best big men ever. Now I don't know if he's going
to
make
it. Dwight carried a team to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
What did Carmelo do?
He carried a team to the NBA Finals. So what? He didn't win it. I'm carrying them there, yeah. Hey, I know a lot of kids go to the mall, but they don't get what they want.
Stop it. Don't start that.
Hey, man.
You can come in the store, but you better not touch nothing when you get there. So you can come play, but you better not touch that trophy.
You know what? This is unfortunate, man. I really feel for Dwight Howard.
Because no, you don't.
I know. Because his couple missteps is going to outweigh all the positives. Yeah. And timing is everything. When he came to the Lakers, that's when this thing started to go downhill. That's when he had his first back surgery. Mm-hmm. Now he's looking like he's out the league. He may not get an opportunity. We'll see. It's because he had his second back surgery. Like, timing is everything. Like, no one wants to dive into those details. But when Kobe looked at him, like, I don't feel you, bro.
Yeah.
And Dwight was like, well, I don't feel me either because I'm hurt.
Right.
No one gave him a pass because he already had slighted his coach in Van Gundy.
I don't feel me either.
So timing is everything, man. I feel for the bro.
Time for Uncle Jimmy's question of the day.
You stupid.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. Jimmy, take it away.
I don't feel me either.
You got a video, too? Uncle Jimmy.
All right. Listen here, man. My boy Orenthal James Simpson wished himself a happy birthday on Twitter yesterday. Now, the Juice just joined Twitter in June, and he already has more than 850,000 followers.
Mm.
But it still's not verified with a blue check. Outside my nephew, how many of you other guys are, how many of you guys up there following OJ?
I didn't follow Oral Gel. When he was running around in that Bronco, I ain't gonna follow him now.
So you're not following him?
No.
As soon as I heard he was on Twitter.
Why?
First of all, what is Twitter? It is just for the smoke. It's for that world. And look, OJ is out. He's a free man. He should have some freedoms and liberties that is afforded all. He would never get a blue check. I know how it goes. I know
he ain't getting that blue check.
I know certain demographics ain't ever going to follow
he
him.
He is verified, though.
In a different way, right,
in
Jack?
In a different way.
Entertaining, man. The dude is entertaining. And
better check his receipt.
Did you follow him?
Hell no.
Oh, me neither.
Hell no.
I guarantee you, the longer he's on there, he gonna say something stupid to get himself caught back up.
Yeah. Oh, he's the first on Twitter to get himself.
No, but he can't help it. Just like when he got out.
He the first on Twitter to say something stupid.
If I get out, if I get off,
what?
I'm moving somewhere and ain't doing nothing. He got caught up in that Vegas thing because he still think he OJ and get away with stuff.
Yeah.
Now he on Twitter and got a voice. He going to say something. He going to do something.
And
I'm telling you.
And you know what? He can do that.
I'm not saying he don't have that option. I'm not saying he don't have that option.
Why not? What's the problem with OJ being OJ?
I'm not saying.
Ain't nobody taking him serious.
He doesn't have the option to do it. Go for it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining it.
Yeah, there's nothing OJ's going to say that interests me, really.
I'll surprise you.
He has no credibility with me.
Well, he might say he did it.
And I'm going to say this, too. He's on there for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just for the attention. I think there's
image?
A money. No, oh. I think he's going to make money.
Off.
He got 850,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to make money off this. And at this point, I don't want to contribute to
it. Okay, I'm going to say this, and I know it ain't going to land well, but let me tell you.
He poetic on that thing, too. Eloquent. Don't forget OJ like the OG broadcaster now.
That's like a goddamn that true.
He took a tee shot, took 2 minutes, and broke life down. And then went out there and kept it going on his birthday. It's his 33rd birthday, celebrating his 39th annual birthday. That's what he said.
What if he posted on Instagram, like, I wonder if Kawhi with the big hands can fit my glove.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. That's the type of stuff you gotta expect from OJ. He gonna say crazy stuff. And it ain't gonna make no sense, so I don't even follow him.
Second chance is anyone? Go on one?
We this would be a fifth.
This ain't no second chance for OJ.
Marcellus.
32nd chance, anybody?
30. Yeah, you gotta remember, both of these guys are Buffalo Bills. I think
I grew up with an orange football, didn't know what the hell it was. Then I realized it was OJ.
I thought it was Brown.
It was orange, and then it kind of went sideways. But you know what? He's back here. At least let him have his freedom.
Oh, so you was feeling the juice for a long time.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. No, look, I love OJ as a player.
Football player. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No question.
I mean, but no. Hey,
I may follow him.
This OJ, no, I'm not following him. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Steven Jackson are back. Let's move to the Lakers, who lost out on Kawhi Leonard, but are still generating some serious optimism about their prospects next season after adding Anthony Davis and veterans like Danny Green, DeMarcus Cousins, Avery Bradley. Executives around the league reportedly think LeBron and company will be way better than they were last season. I disagree. They'll be better than they were last season. They missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about way better, that to me is a number two seed and a real threat to win the title. And I just don't see it. I think they're too old and they'll be too injured.
I believe the optimism. I think it's real. If you look at this team, one, just the makeup. No more LeBron having to groom 3-4 youngsters. Just got Kuzma. And the rest of these guys are veterans. You've added shooting. You've added depth. You've added finals experience. So this is the year I think that the Lakers gonna make the playoffs. Like, that's the optimism. This is a team that's going to make the playoffs. They're going to get in, and they're going to be a high seed. This is a number two seed, maybe number one. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to be objective. Clippers got a lot. We got more than them. But this makeup, LeBron activates when he's around guys he respects or guys he's been to battle with before. And I think that they've really addressed those needs. There's no more babysitting. It's time to go get it.
I think, too, that the interesting part is going to be how they manage time with the older group. You know what I mean? For injuries and things like that. Because for them, their best opportunity is at the end of the year being healthy, having continuity, going into the playoffs with a full gamut of players. So how Frank Vogel navigates through the course of the season is going to be very important. Because I think with this team, it's not as important to have the number one seed as it is to be healthy with your key players at the end of the year.
Right.
But also, they have to play enough games in order to get continuity to be able to compete for a title. So the optimism is there. They deserve it because they made the right moves with what was left in free agency to fill out their roster. Like you said, the shooting, the defense, got some youth. They built out their bench. Now it's just a matter of Frank Vogel. Like I say all the time during the regular season, you manage egos, you manage minutes, and you manage injuries. Once you get to the playoffs, that's when the strategy comes into effect.
Yeah, and like all those things matter. You know, Anthony Davis is fragile. He ain't just as physical and strong as we thought. He's had to deal with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the defense side of it and on the shooting side of it. I'm not sold on the shooting. Everybody said Danny Green's this great shooter. He had one good game in the playoffs. The whole playoffs.
He shot 45 for the year, though. He had a career year.
He had a career year?
45 from three, 45%.
During the regular season.
Oh, I hear you.
Playoffs, that's when they count.
Yeah.
And he don't show up. He showed up a couple times, but he didn't play well. And defensive-wise, who's going to stop somebody? Yeah, AD's good, but they're not going to really stop nobody. You want to put Bron at point? He's not going to guard the points.
Avery Bradley, give him some. No? Come on now. They got
one. He says stop, not slow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking
seriously.
About team defensively, I don't see them being that good at team. Bron don't play defense. So defense is going to be a problem. And like you said, injuries is really going to be a problem. They can keep those guys together. Shooting in the playoffs, we're gonna go back and talk about that again because I don't think they have the shooting that they
need. I think they're going to be a poor defensive team because their best player is not going to play defense, and that's going to affect the rest of the team. I like Jim's point, though, that navigating through the regular season, again, so the optimism should probably be tamped down because the smart play for the Lakers is what Jim said. Be ready for the postseason. And also keep in mind, a high seed in the postseason,
don't guarantee
particularly in the West, not only does it not guarantee anything, if you assume, hey, the Clippers are the best team, it don't matter whether you have home court advantage because you'll be playing in the Staples Center anyway if you advance in the playoffs. So the regular season is even less important. And so I see them doing a lot of tinkering, a lot of load management, and that's why, okay, maybe they win 48, 49 regular season games. Mm-hmm. I don't see them as a high seed. Now, if somehow they manage to get to the postseason healthy, that's when I do think LeBron is dangerous.
Boogie Cousins is going to be big.
Boy, they New Orleans West. It's kind of funny.
Right?
With an older LeBron and a more banged up Boogie. Like, you got Rondo, you got AD. That's New Orleans West when they were there and it was building. It was looking like something, and then the injury started to occur.
Boogie and AD looked good together.
They did.
That 4 and 5 pick and roll, if they can bring that type of basketball back, that'll help the Lakers, but still, defensively.
And how do you think they'll play, too, because with Vogel, more of a control guy, you know that the pace of play for the Lakers is not going to be like this because you don't have a conventional point guard that's going to push it, plus you don't have the wings that's going to run. So it's going to be interesting to see strategically how they really play. And, you know, are they going to play AD and also Boogie at the same time? I don't know because defensively now when Boogie's on the court, that hurts you. So all of these questions I think are going to be answered as the season goes along, like, who are we? Because we don't know the identity yet of this team.
Right.
We know identity of individual player. Mm. But right now, offensively, they don't have an identity.
We know the identity of the Clippers. They're going to be a hard-nosed team.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to lock you up, and you got two guys that's unstoppable on the other side. And you got a sixth man that can get 30. We know the identity of the Clippers.
You all help me out here. The other issue I see, I don't see the Lakers as an athletic team. Mm-mm. And I see the Clippers as athletic. Milwaukee, I think, with Giannis, is an athletic team. I think LeBron at this age and beating up Boogie and AD's a little injured. This is Danny Green. He's older. Rajon Rondo used to be a great athlete, but now he's old. I just don't see him being athletic enough. I think that's going to be an issue.
The Cavs weren't athletic. The Heat weren't really overly athletic. Now, I know that the league has shifted a little bit, but what's happened is that athleticism, I think at times in the playoffs, I think can be handled by how you play defensively. And I think the teams that LeBron has been on, they haven't all been overly athletic. They've been smart. They've been intelligent. They play certain roles in order for them to win basketball games. But it is a great point now that you're in the West and you got to compete. But I still think you can maneuver through that by how you play defensive, if they can play great team defense.
All right, before we go, I'd like to address the latest development in the Tyreek Hill child abuse saga. Yesterday, a local Kansas City radio station played the entire 11-minute audio of the Chiefs wide receiver arguing with his girlfriend about a 2014 domestic violence incident and a 2018 allegation that Hill broke the arm of their 3-year-old son. Earlier this year, a Kansas City TV station aired 5 to 6 minutes of the audio. I had never listened to it because I assumed it was sensationalized and taken out of context. This morning, I listened to the all 11 minutes. It left me shaken and sad. It also left me convinced the NFL needs to suspend Hill for a significant amount of time. What Tyreek Hill doesn't know makes him a danger to himself and others, particularly his child and the boy's mother. Near the end of the recording, Hill and the boy's mama, Crystal Espinal, argue over Hill's physical beatings of their son. Hill denies breaking the boy's arm, but admits to disciplining the child by making him spread his arms and punching him in the chest. Espinal says the child is terrified of his father. Hill claims the boy worships him. All right, take a listen.
Everywhere we go, my son loves on me. Everywhere we go.
And then when we get home, what is it?
And when we get home, it's for real. It's serious time. It's time to lock in because he know I don't play. I want my son to learn respect, something that you did not teach our son, and something that he will get his ass ran over in his work. Because first of all, our son is black. These white folks don't give a fuck about our kids. They don't, and you know that, bro, and that's sad, bro.
Yeah, it's all very sad. It's heartbreaking. There's a growing sentiment in Kansas City that Tyreek Hill is a victim of irresponsible media coverage. The host of the KC radio show that aired the Hill audio appeared to frame the audio as a positive look for Hill. Later in the show, they speculated with a national NFL reporter that Hill might escape all punishment. How Why? Because on the recording, he offered a lame denial that he assaulted Espinal in 2014, a crime he pled guilty to in a court of law. Tyreek Hill needs help, not sympathy. When you freely admit punching a 3-year-old in the chest, it's difficult for me to buy your denial of breaking his arm or assaulting a grown woman. I'm a Chiefs fan. I desperately want Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to compete for a Super Bowl, but they need to do it at least this year without the services of Tyreek Hill. More Speak for Yourself after this. All right, you want to party like a football star?
Hell yeah.
Yep. Saturday, July 20th, the one and only Dre's Bachelor Beach Club in Las Vegas.
You said bachelor party?
You can join Ty Dolla Sign.
Hey, hint.
That dude, Marcellus Wiley.
Oh, not my wife.
And the entire Speak for Yourself crew at the pool party of the summer. For tickets or more information, visit dresgroup.com.
Stop snitching, man. Yeah. Tell everybody our business. Right. I think that's a hint.
Welcome back.
You're getting married, huh?
Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson, and Steven Jackson are back. It's returned to the NBA, where the league's board of governors unanimously approved two new replay rules yesterday. The first allows coaches to issue one replay challenge per game, including on fouls, out-of-bounds plays, and goaltending calls. And the second rule change allows the replay center to initiate reviews on their own. Clearly, both of these changes will lead to more replay being used in NBA games. This is a mistake. We don't need more replay. We don't need more stoppages of the games.
Yep.
I don't like it.
I foresee more problems coming than more things being helped in this situation. Calls will be reviewed under 2 minutes, but no calls. What happened to the no calls? I see so many no calls in 2 minutes. I just don't see where it's going to land. I think it's going to muck it up. I think it's going to make it more delayed. And at the end, we're just going to go back to what we had.
I think it's good somewhat because I don't like the fact where, like, when you're in games, and if one ref make a bad call, you go to the other ref, and he's seen that it was a bad call, and he don't correct it. Mm-hmm. He don't go to him and correct it. I think that'll help that situation because there's a lot of times where we miss shots, we make mistakes, they make mistakes, and they know it, and they don't go correct the call to the other referee. I think this will help that type of situation.
I think you needed the goaltending one. I think that's critical at times in situations, especially late games, if it's a goaltending or not. So I do that. The foul rule is going to be interesting because you get one challenge per game. So strategically, how you use that is going to be important.
Right.
And the foul rule, from what I understand, is on a non-shooting foul, it could be a contact foul on the floor that in late game situation causes either team to go to the penalty, or now it's not a foul, you can reset your defense and now get a defensive stop. Mm-hmm. So I don't like adding more replay when it's unnecessary, but I do like the fact that getting a call right, especially in late game situations, you got a chance to correct it.
But why is it always late game? Like,
just what? Period, though, because they make mistakes, period.
Well, I'm talking about
that restriction.
You're right.
Right there already throws me off when they say under 2 minutes. I'm like,
so no. Do good in 2 minutes?
Yeah. No, I get it.
I'm going to say my issue, though, is this.
I don't get it.
The NBA, unlike baseball, where one call can really dramatically change the game,
mm-hmm.
football, one call can really. One call does not decide a basketball game.
Early in the game, you mean?
At any point, in my view.
Well,
there are so many possessions.
There's
so many possessions in a basketball game. What NBA games are influenced by a series of calls. A style of officiating can influence a game, can stop a team from being physical, can stop a team from perhaps going to the hole, whatever. But one single call, why are we putting more emphasis on officiating in the NBA when, again, a single call does not dramatically change the game the way it does in other sports? That's what I don't like.
One missed call could.
Yeah, you see that a lot. You're down two, you shoot a three, no call, and you got fouled.
Or goaltending. Or something like that.
We see that happen a lot. Then you
see stepping out of bounds, and they miss that, and you get a layup. All that stuff matters at the end of the game, Whit.
But again, in the final 2 minutes, there's no challenges. That's already under replay review. Mm-hmm. The refs can go to the sideline. I just don't to let these coaches throw flags out on the court over stuff that goes on in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter. This is ridiculous. They're going to throw a flag out there and watch a player trip over, and then we're going to have
the referees release themselves, it wouldn't happen.
We're going to have an issue. Uncle Jimmy is here, I think.
Most definitely.
This is Uncle Jimmy. You got any thoughts on the show? Mm.
Yes, most definitely. First of all, I'd like to say it's a true honor and a privilege for me to be in your presence. And I think each and every one of you should thank your creator that I'm here.
What? What church is this?
Do you have a big dummy of the day?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
The person that set up here and got Marcellus Wiley mixed up with Jim Jackson. And how you gonna get the most masculine man on TV mixed up with the prettiest man on TV? I guess maybe you just got mixed up on which one you really wanted to be, huh? Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
All right, here's a highlight. Jesus. Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Dak Prescott.
I like Dak. I really like Dak. I don't love Dak to the tune of his floor is now $30 million.
The reason I'm real uncomfortable giving this dude $30 million is that once you do that, when he walks in that locker room, all of his teammates are going to be like, you better deliver.
Mm.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, or is this Reverend Al Sharptongue, I believe? what's your take on Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott?
First of all, I'd like to stand and say God is good. All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
See, you're supposed to say that.
He ain't been to church in a minute.
He ain't been there in a while.
He's been in bachelor parties.
I've been watching Greenleaf, man.
All right, look here. I'm just trying to tell y'all. I mean, last time, don't worry about the last time you went in church and the windows blew out. Don't worry about that. That was a formality. Yeah. But listen, I'm here to speak right here on, I want to tell everybody that I'm standing here in behalf of the women's soccer team. I was contacted by Megan Rapinoe. She wanted to know if I would be interested in participating in the representation regarding her misrepresentation of her organization regarding reparations and equal pay.
We're talking about Dak Prescott.
And I've been telling you all along, it ain't about how you play. It's only about equal pay. Woo! Hallelujah!
Talking about Dak Prescott.
Yeah, all right. Back to Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott is owed reparations. He's owed reparations from 2001 and the mistreatment that Dave Campos put on not only Quincy Carter, but he also put it on Anthony Banks. Now, you Maremma, Marcus, you Maremma. Anthony Banks left out of the NFL, couldn't even hold a salt shaker. Soon as he left Dallas, he fumbling everything. It was a setup. He was running amok. He was running amok. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Dak Prescott is owed reparations.
I was there, Quincy Carter. I was there.
Oh, explain this.
Look here, now let's not talk about brother Calvin Hill. Quincy Yale. Good quarterback. Y'all don't know how good Calvin Hill was. Not only was he the daddy to Grant Hill.
He was a running back.
He was a great quarterback who was forced to play running back after only 2 days in Yale. Woo! Hallelujah. If that had been Uncle Jimmy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd have told Yale, y'all can go straight to hell. That's in the name of Jesus, of course. You understand what I'm saying?
What does Calvin Hill have to do with Dak Prescott?
Look, let me tell you something. Calvin Hill was a quarterback, supposed to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, until Tom Landry lied to him. then he wouldn't let him play, and then he went and drafted Roger Staubach. They're going to put him ahead of Calvin Hill. What? You know, now, if that own situation don't require reparations, you tell me what does.
So the Cowboys should pay Dak Prescott because Quincy Carter and Tony Banks were no good, and Calvin Hill was a running back.
That was forced.
Before Warren moved.
It's a reason that they called the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, man.
You got a strong case, Dak. Let me tell you something. The Cowboys don't like no quarterback that is heavily pigmented. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You know, they don't like nobody that favors chocolate milk. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, he need to get some of that Aaron Rodgers money. Woo! Some of that Kirk Cousins money. Hallelujah. Some of that nephew Whitlock money. That's what I want. In the name of Jesus, of course. You understand
what I'm saying? My approval ratings.
Slip, slop, slapping, and lollipop
for Dak
hagging.
Prescott.
Woo!
is up 2 points.
Hallelujah.
He's the same dude to me, even though some things have changed. Golly, gospel gold is cracking me up. Dak Prescott, look, you want to be a Cowboy for life until you won't be a Cowboy for life. We'll see how that plays out. But he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. Hope it works out for you, bro, and you ball out. But y'all,
all right. Same thank dude. You, Uncle Jimmy.
Man. Hallelujah.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Help me.
Keep it locked here until tomorrow.
Help me.